Good morning.
Good morning.
Another beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. His mercies are fresh and new once again. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Are you good at making excuses? If so, is that a good thing? Excuses for not doing something or perhaps for doing something too often can come all too easily, can't they? They did for Adam and Eve. Excuses can be a sign of a bigger problem. That bigger problem is clearly identified for us in our readings for today, along with the solution. Let us praise God for His solution. And we want to do that right now as we turn our attention to our opening hymn, which is printed out for us on page 3 of the bulletin. To God be the glory, and may He bless us in our worship of Him. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and you do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Please be seated. We turn to the blue hymnal, hymn 748, and sing Lamb of God.
You are the Son of God.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully hear our prayers. Be gracious to us in our weakness and give us strength to keep your commandments in all we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
On this third Sunday after Pentecost, our first reading comes to us from Genesis chapter 3. The Lord God shows that he was not going to have any part in this blame game. We hear these words. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This is the word of our Lord. We now turn our attention to our psalm for today, Psalm 51a. We'll sing it as noted there, joining together in the first, second, and third refrains as well. are encouraged to not succumb to Satan's lies. We hear this encouragement and the way not to do this in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. This is the word of our Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. From the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 3rd chapter, what an illogical and horrible accusation that was thrown at Jesus. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. If there are children who want to come forward for a children's devotion, they're welcome to do so. Someone's had their Wheaties this morning. All right. Morning, everyone. How's it going today so far?
Good.
Hey, how many of you have played hide and seek? Yeah? Are you good at it? What are you better at? Hiding or seeking? What do you think you're better at? Hiding or seeking? Hiding? What are you better at? Hiding or seeking? Hiding? Who's good at finding people, seeking people? You're good at finding people? So what do you got to do if you're the one who's supposed to find somebody? What's the first thing you do? What do you got to do? You got to cover your eyes, right? You have to count, right? Are you able to see where people are going, where they're hiding? That would defeat the purpose, right? Well, as we like to play hide and seek, it can be a fun game. Some people do that in real life with their sins. We just heard about how Adam and Eve tried to hide from God, who was seeking them out. Who do you think won? God did, right? Scripture even makes it clear, there is no thought There is no word, there is no action that is hidden from God's sight. How does that make you feel? Knowing that nothing is hidden from God's sight. How does it make you feel? You should be a little afraid, right? Sometimes we try to hide things from our brothers or sisters, if we have one, or from our moms and our dads. From teachers, we'll try to hide things. Sometimes we'll even try to hide things from God. But God knows our thoughts. He knows our words. He knows our actions. And so as he sought out Adam and Eve and said, "Hey, you can't hide from me," he wasn't there to punish them out of revenge. What did he promise Adam and Eve? That also is applicable and applies to you and me. What did God promise people for their sins? What did he promise to do with their sins? What did he promise to do with your sins? What has he done with your sins? There's a hint right there in that wall. What did he do with your sins?
He died on the cross.
Yeah. He promised there in Genesis 3, "I'm going to take care of your sins that you tried to hide from me by sending my son to be your savior." And so instead of trying to hide our sins, what are we to do with those sins? What do we do in the beginning of our service? Right? We confessed our sins. We said to God, with our brothers and sisters here in church, we said, "God, I am sorry. I have sinned." Where? In my thoughts, in my words, and in my actions. Have I hurt people? Yeah. Maybe I don't always mean to hurt people, but I say something that's not loving. But then what makes it worse is I try to cover up my hurt and my sin. No more excuses. "Lord, I am sorry. I've sinned." And what does he say? "I don't want to hear it." Is that what he says? No, he says, "You are
forgiven."
Forgiven. Forgiven. Let us live a life that doesn't have to play hide and seek with God. Let's pray about this. Heavenly Father, you came to seek us out. And you have promised us a Savior and fulfilled that promise with the giving of your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. So we don't need to hide our sins from you. In fact, when we do, we get ourselves in worse trouble. So help us confess our sins to you always. And thank you for your forgiveness always. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. So next time you play hide and seek, also think of the fact that you don't need to hide your sins from God. They're paid for already. And live in peace and joy and happiness. Thanks for coming up. We'll continue with our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance. And this is from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our meditation this morning is based on the Old Testament reading for this Sunday from Genesis chapter 3. I would ask the men among us at this time if they are willing to read with me verse 12 of Genesis chapter 3. We read verse 12. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." This is God's word. I noticed some hesitancy on the part of the men to want to read that verse. Brothers and sisters in Christ, why do we do it? Do what? Make excuses for almost everything. For things that we should have done or for things that we know we should not have done. We seem to make excuses way too often, don't we? Maybe it was while we were working, we made excuses for why this project or assignment did not get done. It was somebody else's fault, up the chain or underneath me. Or why we were late for work. You should have seen that deer that crossed the street. Or in school, what's one of the oldest excuses in the book? The dog ate my homework. Now it's, well, the printer didn't work, or I didn't have Wi-Fi, so I couldn't get to my assignment. Why aren't chores getting done? Well, you didn't explain to me clearly what my chore was to be, so I didn't know what to do. Or, I'm tired. Excuses. We make too many of them, don't we? Where do all these excuses come from? Well, they come from our heart. And where do those excuses from our heart come from? Genesis chapter 3 reminds us of where excuses come from. And also then the solution to stopping excuses. In order to understand where excuses have come from, we need to appreciate, though, first of all, the context leading up to the excuse making. God had created a beautiful world, did He not? He had set the plate beautifully for Adam and Eve, His prized creation, His special creation, to come and enjoy life. Everything was in place. And He even gave them a beautiful relationship between them and Himself. They were in sync. They were given the ability not to sin. They weren't robots. They could choose to serve Him with happiness and contentment, or they could go against Him. So God gave them a simple command. And He gave them the ability to follow through on that command. Just don't eat of the fruit of that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And He even told them, why not? For if you eat of it, what's going to happen to you? You will surely die. A simple command. And the ability to obey that command. Follow that command and you can live with God, your Creator, forever in bliss. After the creation of the world, and sometime before the events recorded for us in Genesis 3, we become aware of a battle that took place, a war in heaven, between some of God's created angels and God Himself, led by Lucifer, Satan, the devil, who wasn't created to be evil, but again, had the ability not to sin, who rebelled against God, His Creator, and thus was cast out of heaven from God's presence. Well, he wanted revenge. And since he could not go against God, the Creator, he tried that and failed miserably. What's next? I'm going to go against God's prize creation, Adam and Eve. And I know he gave them a way to show their love for him, that simple command. I'm going to use that against them. What really was the first sin? Was it the bite? Or was it the doubt? When the devil said to Eve, as she's looking at that tree and admiring how good the fruit looks on that tree for eating, did God really say that you can't have a piece of that fruit? Are you sure? Come on. He must have been having a bad day. He didn't mean that. Go ahead, take a bite. You know, it looks good. And then what did she add to it? Don't even touch it. So already the doubts are created by Satan. Eve caves into those doubts. She adds to God's command with those words, don't touch it. And then takes the bite. Immediately, her eyes were open. But not just her eyes, because right away she said to Adam, wow, this is really good. You should take a bite. And Adam, what should he have done at that point in time? Even before that. Eve, what are you doing? We're not supposed to do that. Let's show our love for God, our Creator. No, what does he do? He joins in on and takes a bite. And so immediately his eyes were open too to the fact that, uh-oh, Mako's not going to cover this boo-boo. We did something wrong. In the cool of the day, evening time, we are told that God is walking the garden. He knows what happened. What are Adam and Eve doing while God is walking the garden? They're trying to hide. Hopefully he won't find us. How foolish. Have you been in that situation? Maybe your mom and her dad are gone out of the house for a while, and you're playing with a friend or a sibling, and grandma's antique vase in the room all of a sudden mysteriously falls, and there's a chip. So you get Elmer's glue out, and you try to glue it back in, and then you hide that crack against the wall, thinking mom and her dad, they won't notice that. And then when mom and her dad are come in the door, where do you go? The opposite end of the house. Now mom has two choices. She can go, Charles, get in here. Or she can go on for a little while and then at the supper table start having a conversation. Hey, do you remember grandma? What do you remember about grandma? Do you remember that vase that grandma gave us? Oh, that's a beautiful vase. You know, I hope to give it to you someday. I hope nothing happens to that. What's on your face as mom is talking about grandma's vase and wanting to give it to you someday? Charles, why are you all red in the face? Do you want to tell me something? Oh, it's my sister. She made me do it. Excuses come all too easily. God pointed it out to Adam and Eve. You know, when Adam said, well, we hid from you because we were afraid of you. Why were you afraid of God? Because you knew you did something wrong. Their conscience kicked in. And then what else? Before the fall into sin, Adam and Eve were able to walk around without clothing. No shame. But after, their eyes had been opened from eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now there was shame. And God points that out too. Something changed in that relationship between God and His creation. Now, God could have simply struck them down and said, I'm done with you. I'll try it again with somebody else. But He didn't take that approach, did He? He took a merciful approach while also carrying out justice. He led them to see their sin for what it is. Sin. So no more excuses, because we need to admit that sin is sin. And that's one of the reasons why we gladly, willingly, at least should be willingly, confessing our sins at the start of our worship service. Lord, I have sinned. There's no benefit for me to hide my sin. I need to come clean. Have mercy on me, Lord. I can't rely on my works, but it can be hidden from your sight. In Hebrews, we are told, God's word is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts and penetrates even to the heart, dividing joints and marrow, judging our thoughts and our attitudes. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. What are you trying to hide from God right now? How's that working for you? How's your conscience doing? Maybe you hurt somebody. Now every time you see that person, until you come clean, you're got that sick feeling in your stomach. Maybe it's something else that happened in your life and you haven't really come clean with it. Confess it to God. Adam and Eve, when the Lord held them accountable, He pointed them to the promise. The promise that we know has been fulfilled. Would there still be consequences for their actions? Yes. And the Lord gets into those after our text for today. What those consequences would be, and we are suffering many of those consequences today. One of the biggest ones that no one is going to be able to escape unless the Lord comes back is death. Every time a person dies, every time we get sick and ill, and we ourselves feel like we're on our own deathbed, it's a reminder that sin came into the world with consequences. But let's not forget about the solution. Not only then did God confront Adam and Eve with their sin so that they would come clean and He could offer them forgiveness, He also confronted Satan. But for Satan, there was no more forgiveness. He would be held in check. Every time we see a snake, whether we like them or not, we're reminded of how sin came into the world as Satan used a snake to talk through, to lead Adam and Eve astray. And so the snakes crawl on the ground, a sign of humility. They still have a bite, so we need to be worried, concerned about certain snakes, right? They're venomous. But we've been given warning. Their bite does not have to be fatal, spiritually, especially in this case, because of that promise. Satan, you may be able to strike the heel of the servant I'm going to send to save the world. And you may have thought you won when Jesus was being flogged and being mocked and ridiculed and hanging there from the cross and died. But Satan, you're mistaken. Because through all of that has come your demise for good. And has come salvation for God's creation. I will put enmity between you and the woman. Between your offspring and hers. Don't we see the enmity taking place today between the people of God and those who are not of God? Genesis 3 is very applicable to us today because it explains why things went wrong in our world and how things are still going wrong in our world, and that there's a battle taking place each and every day, not just physically but spiritually, as Ephesians 6 tells us. There's a battle going on that we're not even aware of most days for your soul. But connected to the Word, Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain connected to me, you will bear good fruit. Satan and his minions cannot hurt you. So no more excuses. We have sinned, Lord. I am sorry. I confess them. And by your grace, I'm forgiven. You have promised it so. Not only did you promise it so, you fulfilled that promise. Christmas, Easter, all reminders of that promise fulfilled. So when it comes to living our life day after day, the Lord God has still given us a simple command. Luke 11, for example, says, "Blessed are they who hear the word of God and do what with that word? Obey it. Put it into practice. It's not hard." Well, our sinful nature makes it hard. And then also in 1 John, he says, this is love for God. Do you love God? Then do what with that love? Obey his commands. And what are his commands? They are not burdensome. Adam and Eve, that command not to eat of the fruit of the tree, that was not a burden. You and me, God's command to love him first and foremost, that's not a burden. God's command to love your neighbor as yourself, to protect his or her reputation, to not steal from him or her, to not harm him or her or any of their possessions, that's not a burden, right? Come clean. No more excuses for our sin. God, help us put into practice your commands, which are not a burden. Help us love you as you have loved us. And to help us do that, let us be mindful of God's great love clearly shown to us, not only here in Genesis 3:15, but also the fulfillment of that in John 3:16, which we'll say together right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's for you, that he has come to give eternal life. No more excuses. Call sin what it is. And also recall the fact that forgiveness has been accomplished so that you can live excuse-free. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We pray, Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you. But, O best of all your graces, with your love, our love renew. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach the same truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Physician of both the body and the soul, we commend Pat Schmidt to your care for help as she is enduring multiple health challenges. Grant relief to her body and rest for her soul. And you have given heavenly rest to the dad of Greg Meyer. Be with the Meyer family as they mourn the earthly loss of his dad. Keep their eyes fixed on the life Jesus came to win for us and sealed by his own rising from the dead. Continue to open the eyes of those among us who are privileged to celebrate another birthday. We thank you for putting them among us here at St. Mark's. And as they are a blessing to us, may we be a blessing to them, and together give you the glory. Thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing to your sight. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We continue with the hymn In Christ Alone, hymn 752, in the blue supplement hymnal.
Thank you.
They pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
And again, just to highlight the fact that Bible study taking place today here in the church of the Gospel of St. Mark is what we're looking at. For those who want a review of basic Christian doctrine or are seeking membership at our congregation, we are offering a course called Foundations that will take place in the chapel. That's the building behind here in the church. And then our teen and Sunday school classes are taking place as usual. In their places. If you need to know where the Sunday school rooms are, please consult one of the ushers. They'll help direct you in that direction. This afternoon, we do say farewell to the Bowers, but they'll always be in our hearts and minds. But a special celebration of their ministry among us here at St. Mark's is scheduled to take place at 4 o'clock. Not without purpose, Celebration Sunday is scheduled for next week, so special worship service. And then also, as part of the worship service, just allow some extra time to peruse the campus as our boards and different areas of ministry will have displays set up to help us just see what is taking place at and through St. Mark's. We do have reason to celebrate, as our ministry is not without purpose, and it's not without purpose debt reduction opportunity is not without purpose either. So more on that next week. Just a For our 20s and 30-year-olds, please see the weekly news for an outing that's happening on the 23rd. Opportunity to to let Lisa know if you're able to make it or not. And then the windows, the stained glass windows, the dedication service for those is set for June 24th. That's coming up real quick. The windows are done, and they plan to be installed the week of the 18th. Pastor Pope and his wife will be here working on that project during the week. So we pray for their safe travels and that everything goes well. You can see the bulletin and bulletin board and weekly news for other events that are taking place on a daily basis here at St. Mark's to add to your own busy schedules. Before we leave today and greet one another in Jesus' name, let's get connected with the work we do around the Synod with our Wells Connection. The opportunity here is focused on how to share the gospel. Special effort.